Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining the call today. You guys are all on mute while I talk, and then after I'm done, I will open up the call so you can ask questions. Once I open up the call, if you want to self-mute until you ask a question, that's fine. Okay, great. So the subject of the call this morning is letter writing and communication, and I will be sending this MP3 out to everyone today. So if you just want to sit back and listen, you're free to do that, and you can re-listen to the call later on. Okay, so letter writing. A lot of you guys have questions about this, so hopefully I'll be able to answer all of those today. Letters are a much more powerful tool than people give them credit for. You know, actors often wonder why add a letter when the headshot and resume tells the whole story. Well, it doesn't tell the whole story. A cover letter is another way for you to distinguish yourself from the crowd by inviting the reader to get to know you as a person. A recent graduate of a school that I used to teach at, he wrote several letters to film directors inviting them to see the screening of his final film, and he received personal calls from Peter Weir and Sam Mendes. Now, what I find interesting about this is that he wrote a bunch of stock sort of general letters that he sent out, and none of those got answered. But then he sat down and wrote 15 personalized letters to his favorite directors, and several of them, including Sam Mendes' people and including Peter Weir's people, called him. And none of them were able to attend the finding screener, but the young filmmaker developed an ongoing relationship with Peter Weir, and that's still going on for him, and it was just based on a letter. Cover letters are used as a way of introducing yourself to agents, casting directors, and managers, and directors, and, you know, whoever is on your hit list. They are also used to ask for specific auditions as a way of updating your reader to classes and projects you've worked on recently, or as a request to be considered for upcoming projects or general auditions. Also, in a cover letter, you can mention your callbacks, and I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, but I'll talk a little bit about it now. You can't put your callbacks on a resume. Only bookings belong on your resume, right? But every actor would prefer to book every audition he or she attends, but that doesn't happen. When you get the callbacks stage, you are seriously being considered for the role. Whether you get the gig or not, it is out of your control at that point. For example, there may be a specific look that the lead has you don't have, or there may be a chemistry issue. The point here is that you can include your callbacks on your cover letter, and what that demonstrates for the reader is that you are a working actor and that you are playing in the big league. So generally, I like cover letters to kind of be divided into three paragraphs. I think just generally on the page, it's easier to read. The good news about a cover letter is once you get the original cover letter written, it's just a question of cutting and pasting each time you need it. So you're going to get better. The first attempt at writing a cover letter is time-consuming, but after the initial writing, and it is all about cutting and pasting, and then once you do it, you'll know your style, and you'll be able to write a letter again. So let's talk about what's in each of these paragraphs. So the first paragraph should be, why are you writing? You should ask for something. The first paragraph states why you're contacting the reader, what is your purpose in writing? Are you writing about representation? Are you interested in a specific role? Are you introducing yourself to this person as a new actor? In the first paragraph, also mention why you are a good match for the reader's needs. Give them an idea of your type. And you can also put that in the second paragraph. You can use in this column maybe your positioning statement and descriptive adjectives. Second paragraph. Okay, so first paragraph, why are you writing, basically? Second paragraph is, what have you been up to? And it can also be about them as well. So in this paragraph, mention your credits, classes you've been taking, and callbacks of note. Remember, callbacks can be a leverage in your marketing. Even though you may not have booked the role, by mentioning your callbacks, you let the reader know that these are the casting people interested in you and your work. In this paragraph, you can also mention where the reader can see your work on air, in a movie, or the theater. Also, you might want to talk about them. So, you know, you might want to mention something about, for instance, when I wrote Sam Mendes about getting an audition for a possible production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, he was writing, I mentioned the fact that, you know, he had directed Cabaret on Broadway and that it was, you know, it was inspiring to me and I wanted to work with a director of his caliber. So in the second paragraph, I can also use that paragraph as sort of a you know, talking about me and talking about them, if appropriate to the letter in general. Okay, so the third paragraph of the letter should be closing and direct request. In this paragraph, you mentioned that you look forward to working with the reader, mentioned that you'll be contacting them if appropriate. Looking for an agent, it is reasonable to write, I'll be contacting you to set up an appointment. Yeah, please try to avoid, I hope, you know, I don't like that, as most of you know that have worked with me. Stay away from tentative language in your writing. This paragraph should be upbeat and make the reader aware of what the next step is as you build the relationship. I really want you guys in these letters to come from a place of confidence, real confidence, not fake confidence, but, you know, this is what I'm doing about my career. This is what's happening in my career. This is how you could benefit my career or help my career or be a part of my career. This is what, how I would benefit your project or benefit your agency. And really, you know, there's something about being direct and being positive and knowing that you've already arrived, that you're not waiting to arrive or not, you're not hoping that you will arrive, that you are, that you're present in the game and that you're playing the game and that you would like to be a part, you would like to see if they would like to be a part of your game. That is, you know, and so it's from that frame of reference that I want you to write these letters. And I want it to come from a real place and a confident place. Okay, so a lot of you have heard my top 10 letter list for letter writing. This was actually put together by myself and Leah Brandenburg, who I wrote my textbook with. So I'm going to go through this top 10 list and explain each one. So the top 10 list for letter writing is, number one, use the letter to break the stranger barrier. Consider it an opportunity to whisper in their ear, choosing what message you want them to get. Again, it's about that opportunity to say more than the picture. So you can talk about your callbacks. You can talk about your personal connection to this person. You can talk about a name that you possibly have to drop or that would help secure this person reading your letter, a hook. And actually, the next one is have a hook, something that piques the reader's interest, name-dropping, clever description of self, what someone has said about you. You know, your hook is basically, if you're climbing a rock wall, a rock climbing wall, the hook is whatever stone you're stepping on right now. So whatever just happened for you, whether it was a reoccurring on a TV show or whether you just signed with a big agency or whether you just got out of acting school, whatever that thing is, that is the thing that you're using right now to get you to the next place on the rock wall. You know, so where do you want to go next is always the thing that you're looking at, and where and what is the last thing that you did, because that is what you're banking on. And it could be as simple as, you know, I just moved to Los Angeles or New York, or I just got into this class, or I just hired a career coach, I just started my career, I just decided to make a change in my career. It could be something like that as well. Number three, try looking at it from the point of view of the reader. So I think sometimes the hardest place to start is at the beginning of a letter, and often it's good to go and start with, what is it that's your fear? Okay, so when I was doing my one-woman show in New York, my fear was people would get the letter and they'd say, oh God, not another one woman show. So what I did was I said in my letter, I said, not another one woman show. Well, let me tell you how mine's different. I play a man. So I stated my fear. I looked at it from the point of view of the reader, and that helped. Also looking from the point of view of the reader is remember that it can't be too long because these people have a business to run, and then they're in a hurry usually. And so, you know, you want to get to the point. See how perfect I am? Number four, be clear, direct, and brief. Don't make them guess why you are writing. Ask for something. Just said it. Number five, double the effectiveness with another letter in 2 weeks or a follow-up phone call or make it part of a three-part mailing. You know, that can really help, especially initially if you're just starting off in your career and you want to get in front of people, you might want to do, you know, hit them with a three-peat 3 weeks in a row and then take it out to 6 to 8 weeks in between mailings. Number six, do your homework. Acknowledge them for what they have done. Be informed as to why you want to work with them. That is why I ask each one of you to have your own hit list of people that you're going after. And your hit list is going to be different from everyone else's hit list because there's going to be people on your hit list that aren't on anyone else's hit list and vice versa. So if you have an individualized hit list, then you're probably going to have people on there that you know a little bit more about, but you do need to have a thorough knowledge of the industry and who the players are that you're going after. Number seven, language and tone of letter should come from a place of strength and confidence. Okay, again, it's what I talked about earlier. You want to come from a place of already arrived, even if you haven't. It's like you're already in the game. You're not waiting to get in the game. And you're going to hear me talk about, for you guys that are newer with me, you're going to hear me talk about that a lot. So you're already in the game, so speak like you already are in the game and you know what's happening and you read Hollywood Reporter this morning or you read Backstage or you read the articles on IMDb Pro or you read the articles about the Oscars. What is happening in your industry? And come from a place of strength and confidence. Okay, number eight, timing. Try to hit midweek with your correspondence. Most letters, postcards, or pictures arrive on Monday. And also, since they're not going to have mail on Saturdays anymore, this is even going to be more important. Also, there is simply more mail on Monday because there is no mail on Sundays and now Saturday. So during the summer, Fridays are half days in New York City, and during the summer, you know, Friday's just not a good day to make a connection with anyone in the business, L.A. or New York. If your correspondence hits on Friday, generally it won't be looked at until Monday. So midweek is usually the best time to shoot for. So put it in the mail on Monday. That's the best thing to do. Number nine, define yourself. Describe what you are selling and how you can be cast. Create a verbal picture of what you bring to the table that no other actor has. Yes, your picture and resume will help to define you, and this is one more opportunity to promote yourself with style and as a professional. Okay, number 10, have fun. No actor becomes an actor to write cover letters. I understand that. Just remember the cover letter is one more step towards your goal and your dream. However, if this process is completely painful for you, there are companies that specialize in writing letters and postcards, and you can email me about that and we can hook you up with one of those places. But I really want you as my clients to get used to writing your own letters and get over that hump if you haven't done that already. Okay, I promised to tell you a little bit about callbacks. And so I was looking at Brian O'Neill's book, and if you don't know that book, it's called Acting as a Business. And he had a little section in here that I thought was great, so I'm going to read that to you. The purpose of a cover letter is not only to explain why the photo and resume are being sent, but to emphasize or include information that may increase your chances of getting an interview. You can put information in a cover letter that you cannot put on your resume. As I briefly mentioned with regard to the soap opera follow-up campaign, a report of one job or more that you almost got in the recent past can be highly effective. It is a good way of getting yourself in the door. Reporting the almost comes as a surprise to most actors, probably because we are so often told that almost doesn't count. In the business of acting, almost often counts for a lot. Let me give you an example of reporting an almost that had far-reaching results. Recently, a young actor new to New York came to see me. She did not know which agents to approach or how to contact them in an effective manner. I asked her for a rundown of her professional activities since she had been in New York. I learned that she had been attending every audition she could find that she felt had a role in it for which she might be suited. Good. I then asked her what kind of results she had been getting. She reported that one of the many auditions she attended had brought her a specially favorable response. She had attended an open call listed in Backstage for future replacements and understudies for the role of Cosette in the Broadway production of Les Miserables. She had been called back to audition two more times. While the final results had brought her little more than frustration when she was ultimately not cast, I demonstrated the potential value of this situation by suggesting that she send the following cover letter along with her photo and resume to a number of talented agents who represented actors for theater, film, and television. Dear agent, enclosed is my photo and resume. Since moving to New York 3 months ago, I have auditioned three times. Two of them callbacks for the role of Cosette in the Broadway production of Les Mis cast by Johnson and Liv. New paragraph. In addition, I have recently enrolled in scene study class with Stella Adler. I am now looking for representation and would appreciate the opportunity to meet with you at your convenience. And then thank you very much. Sincerely, Sandra A. Sandra initially expressed some reluctance about starting her letter with what she felt was meaningless information. Callbacks for a part she didn't even get. I explained to her that an agent would interpret it as a way of saying that she has a Broadway caliber since she had been called back twice for a major role. Why would callbacks make such a statement? Well, first, it's important to remember just how subjective the casting process is. Most likely, Sandra didn't get cast because whoever was making the decision decided that someone else was more suited for the role. There could be any number of reasons why Sandra was not ultimately selected, not the least of which could have been her height, weight, coloring, or even that she bore a resemblance to someone's in-charge's ex-wife who had fleeced him for everything. She most likely wouldn't have gotten as far as she did in the casting process if she had been found lacking in talent. Okay, great. Sandra responded to me several days later that she had sent her photo and resume to a few agents and had already had an interview with one of them. When I asked her the details of the meeting, she said that the agent had asked her right away about her audition for Les Mis and the subsequent callbacks. Good. The mention of those high-level Broadway callbacks had piqued the agent's interest. What happened next is equally, if not more, important. The agent asked Sandra, she had been submitted for a new Broadway production that was about to be cast. Sandra replied that she had not, and the agent was free to suggest her to the casting director. The agent then telephoned the casting director of the upcoming production, informed him that he had a suggestion for one of the roles, to which the casting director responded, "Tell me about her." This is a casting director's polite way of urging an agent to give him information that may interest him enough to set up an interview and an audition for the actor. Well, you don't know her yet, but she recently called back twice for Cosette and Les Mis here on Broadway. In that case, I would like to see her Wednesday morning at 11, came the casting director's reply. So it should be clear by now just how effective that sentence in Sandra's cover letter was. It's not only got her in the agent's door, it got her another audition with a second casting director. Most agent submissions do not result in an audition. I am not suggesting that every agent will immediately get on the telephone with the casting director without benefit of seeing your work. However, a strong example of your potential can be indicated by the response you get from major casting directors. So I think that's great. And if you have never read Acting as a Business by Brian O'Neill, it's a great investment. It's a great book to take a look at. You know, if you're going to start this process of letter writing and you've not done so yet, please, please, please send me all of your letters to read. If you're afraid, just write something down, even if you think it's bad or it sucks. It's better that I have something to start with to look at than to write a letter from nothing for you, because it's not going to be your letter, then it's going to be my letter. Okay, I know a lot of you ask me about emails. Well, what about email letters? I want you to think about how you deal with your emails. If you have a smartphone, how do you deal with your emails? Well, I don't know about you, but if I don't know the person, I delete it. I'm running a business, as is an agent, plus I have my own acting career, which I'm running a business for. So, and I have friends and social obligations. So, you know, those are the things that I'm looking for in my emails. And if it's not a client, but if it's an actor that I've known in the past that's asking me for something, a lot of times I won't delete it, but I will definitely not look at it immediately, because my clients are my number one priority. So that's going to get down the list already. And if I don't know you, you know, I'm going to look. If I see that it's a request for an autograph or something like that, usually I'll just forward it on to my my agents. You know, so you have to think about how you deal with emails. And so many of those emails go to spam. And you think about how many emails agents and casting directors get. It's crazy. You can try a letter, but also I think snail mail is the way to go a lot of ways, like that. Now, let's also talk about what we write on a postcard and a note card. As most of you know, I really like you to have some top-of-the-notch, you know, material, a picture, a postcard, a business card with your picture on it. So you have different ways of contacting people with your name and face involved. And one of those things is, of course, a postcard. And generally on postcards, we write on the back, but we can also print on a label and put on the back. And a postcard for me is really something that I send as either one, a thank you note, or two, just a quick, hey, you know, thanks for giving me a call yesterday, or let me tell you what I've been up to. I recently booked to this and this and this. And you can also do special postcards. But that is another form of letter writing. And in that regard, I think a bullet points or a few quick statements, you know, no, not the three-paragraph thing. Also remember that you can write a letter and just stick your picture, your business card in it. I mean, especially for you guys that are newer to acting and don't have the resume, you might want to think about that, because the resume isn't going to really help you at this point. So it might help you to write a really great letter and just stick your business card in there. And often I find that letters get opened quicker than 8x10 envelopes, or 9.5x11, whatever. Also, these note cards, you know, I usually go to Target and I buy a bunch of blank note cards, the papyrus kind, you know, that are really cute and trendy. And I have to tell you that I wrote, right before Christmas, I wrote a bunch of managers asking to get a meeting with them. And I bought these really cute cards, and I typed letters, and I put them inside. And several of the managers got back in touch with me, or got back in touch with my casting director that was helping me to get some interviews with some higher-end managers. And, you know, they said, no, we're not interested, or we don't have room for Valerie, or blah, blah, blah. Well, yesterday I got a phone call from my number one pick. And, you know, just when you think it's so funny that I was getting ready to do this call this morning, because, you know, it's so appropriate. I wrote that letter back in December, and you know what he said to me? He goes, and he talked to me for 20 minutes, and the relationship has started, and I don't know if I'm going to work with him, but he's a huge manager. He's one of the biggest in the business. And he called me and spoke to me for 20 minutes based on the letter that I wrote him before Christmas. And he said, I finally had a minute, and I had you in this pile, which I've been meaning to call. So there you go. It's like there it is again. I was in the pile meaning to call, and he did call me. And we talked for 20 minutes, so my letter did work, and it's working. And so I just thought that was hilarious that I had written that letter. I dropped a bunch of note cards this year, and I didn't really get much response at all. And I felt like, oh, it's not working. And then my number one pick called me. So I guess just when you think it doesn't work, it works. Okay. a couple of stories just to, besides the one I just told you, to kind of drive home the point. So number one, you know, another story that I have that just spells it all out for me is I would often lose hope when I was writing these letters in New York for years. I was writing letters. And when I wrote letters when I moved out here, I would often lose hope that it wasn't working, that nothing was happening. And twice, at least twice, I got proved wrong. And the first one is one of my favorite stories. I had written Bonnie Monty at New Jersey Shakespeare Festival 100 times, I swear, so many times. And she'd been on my regular mailing circuit every 6 to 8 weeks. And finally, like 2 years later, I get called into a general audition at New Jersey Shakespeare Festival. And I'm on stage, and I'm getting ready to do my Winter's Tale monologue. And I look down at Bonnie. She's in the audience. And on her lap is a folder, and I could see all of my mailings. They were all in one folder. And here I was thinking that nothing was working. And so, again, I was proved wrong. And then, of course, I used to write to all the directors I worked for on a regular basis. And again, I didn't think they ever read their letters or anything. And then I was at a restaurant in New York City, and I ran into Hal Hartley and his wife. And he said, so I stopped doing them. And Hal said, Valerie, I haven't gotten anything from you lately in the mail. I miss getting things from you in the mail. I was like, oh, my God. There again, I had evidence that what I was doing was working. Most of you know my Kathy Bates story. I also have an Edie Falco story. Both of those women I wrote for different reasons. Kathy Bates, really, because she'd been on my hit list for so long and I wanted to work with her. And I found the opportunity presented itself to me. And I wrote her, and she called me immediately after she received the letter. And the same thing happened with me with Edie Falco when I wrote her a letter asking her for an audition. So I'm going to read you the Edie Falco letter because I think that really, really, really helps. Dear Edie, I've never done anything quite like this before, but I thought I'd give it my best shot. My name is Valerie Hubbard, and I would love to understudy you this summer in Frankie and Johnny. So I have never done anything like this before, by the way, is an example of looking at it from the point of view of the reader. First of all, it's the play that I've wanted to work on for a long time, and I was thrilled to hear it was being done in New York again. Second of all, I think you're a perfect choice to play her, and I know I have much to learn from you. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You are my favorite actress on TV for your incredible detailed work. I applaud you. And in parentheses I wrote, I also always give you my SAG Award vote. And then I said, that's the butter up part, ha ha. Anyway, I am not sending my pick and resume, but I am an accomplished actress that has worked off-Broadway regionally, TV, and film, and I am signed with blah, 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 where I can be reached. I have been described as a young Kathy Bates with red blonde hair, 5'2", and 40 years old. I don't know if you have any say over your understudy, but I thought I'd start with you and sick my agents on the casting people. Thanks for taking the time to read this letter, and best to you in all your future endeavors. So, and then when I said I would love to understudy you this summer, that was number 4, which is be clear, direct, and brief, and say what you want. Number 6, the butter up part, I always give you my SAG Award, and I said, you know, what a great actress she was on TV, which I really meant. That was it. Number 6, do your homework, acknowledge them for what they have done. And then I've been described as young Kathy Bates, and I said that, and that's number 2, have a hook or something that piques the reader's interest, name-dropping, clever description of self, and what someone has said about you. I believe in this letter I also included something about being friends with Wendy McKenna because they were in Sidemen together on Broadway, or they had known each other from War and Light. I think that's what it was. Yeah, they were both on Sidemen. And so that would be like also dropping a name as well for some way to help. So my letters have worked, and they just worked actually yesterday. So they do work. And a lot of you have heard the story of Ed Norton. Ed Norton was in acting class at Terry Schreiber's. He found out they were having a hard time casting the role in Primal Fear. So he wrote a letter asking for an audition. He had, you know, a very simple resume. He had been in some off-Broadway plays. He had done a couple of independent films. I mean, it wasn't like he had this extensive resume. And when they came to New York, they gave him an audition, and he was on a plane that afternoon for his screen test. So letters do work. They do work, and we have plenty of evidence that they do work. You want to create a personal relationship with these people. And the last thing that I want to say about this is that you must be consistent. You must be consistent. Don't just write a letter and then never write again. Drop them a note. Drop them a quick note. You know, I'm crazy busy this week, but I'm going to find a time to drop a quick note to the gentleman that called me yesterday after receiving my letter back in December and say, hey, it was great to talk to you. Let's plan on talking again in the spring. You know, I need to do some sort of follow-up for him to see where this relationship goes next. Okay, great. All right. So, wow, we have a lot of people on the call. Awesome. So I am going to take you guys off mute right now, and I'm going to ask you if you have any questions to let me know. If you are cooking your breakfast or doing anything else, please put yourself on mute until you ask a question so the rest of us can don't have to hear that stuff. Okay, here we go. Okay, hi, everyone.
Hello.
Okay, so I am going to be sending this MP3 out to everyone, just so you know, but do I have any questions about what we talked about just now?
I have a question, Sal.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so my question, Val, it's Christy. My question is, how important is it that the photo you send on a postcard match the photo you send the rest of the time?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think that I think if you have a header or a way of putting your name, you can get away more with changing pictures. And I also think that, you know, it depends on what you're going for. Like, if we have people on this call that are going for comedy, right, a lot of comedy. So I think that, you know, we're primarily sending out that funny picture. And so you don't – if you're pursuing both comedy and drama, you probably want to have something that says both. Or you can also have more than one picture on a postcard. And you can have two pictures on a business card. I think you do have that, right, Christy?
Yeah,
you have front and back. Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that initially when you're trying to break into the industry, sort of staying with no more than two pictures is probably a good idea. I mean, but if you get to a place like other people on this call who already have a career and are wanting to get farther in their career, I think you can have a little bit more leeway with that. But
okay.
If you're selling something completely different, if you're selling some comedy and you're selling some drama, you should probably keep consistent with the comedy people and keep consistent with the drama people. But if you have a logo or a way of saying writing your name, like a certain font that you use, sometimes that's enough for familiarity.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, let's talk briefly about finding addresses for you guys that are still maybe wondering how do I do that. You've got to be able to. Number one, IMDb Pro is a good place to start. The call sheet, which is the old Ross Reports, the call sheet, has all the addresses in it. And also the casting director guide put out by Now Casting out here in L.A. And I'm sure there's a casting director guide that's one in New York that you can use. I find that the new call sheet, which is the new Ross Reports, is getting better at sort of writing the credits in there in the office. The biggest problem with a lot of times like the call sheet is getting the assistants and the associates' names that work in the office. Because if you're doing casting workshops, you need to know those names as well. to know who else works in the office besides the main casting directors. But those are your resources for finding addresses. Okay, do I have other questions?
Valerie.
Yes.
This is Saul. How are you?
Good.
So basically, you said that you were going to send a, because, sorry, I was late logging into the conference. So you're going to send like a voice, the whatever the discussion was, right?
Yeah, I always send, for especially for my content calls, and I send out an MP3 to everyone on the list so you can re-listen to it, and it's also good. When we have a good Q&A call or we have a good accountability call, I'll send that out as well. Lately, because I've been starting a bunch of new clients and changing over sort of, we haven't had a good attendance to the phone calls, so I haven't been sending them out. But this one definitely will be coming out to you probably later on today.
Okay, because I mean, I was taking notes. I'm the type of guy that I take notes about everything, like each sentence, somebody speaks,
yeah,
or whatever.
Well, just listen to it again, and it'll help you. I mean, I frequently listen to my coaching calls with my coach several times, you know, especially when I'm trying to get something, because we all get stuff in our own time, you know. I think the biggest thing I want to say to you guys is if you have not written a letter or you're just starting this process, please go ahead and write these letters. Write a letter this week, you know, and send it to me, and let's get started. You know, even if, you know, I know that Christy and I are going to make a campaign for an agent, a good agent, you know, coming up in April and May, which, by the way, is the best time to look for an agent because that's the slow time and that's when they sort of are seeking new actors. So, you know, I've asked her to go ahead and write some letters and send them to me, and so we can get those all ready. So when April and May comes, we're ready to go with our mailings and our new pictures and all that so we can get a good agent. So it's better to get over this hump now as far as writing letters. And I think letters also are really, like, I still write letters, and I'm 30 years into my career, and I think letters are something that never end. I think, you know, you're always campaigning. I mean, this manager I spoke to yesterday, you guys, has taken, like, several actors to an Oscar. I mean, he's top-of-the-line manager. And, you know, he said that I'm doing everything right. It's like you're never done. You're always looking for the next thing. You're always looking to get higher and to get bigger. And so don't think that someday this letter-writing thing or anything like that's going to stop, because at least for me it hasn't. And it's still garnering things that I want to have happen in my career for me as of yesterday. So it's still working. Other questions?
Hey, Valerie, it's Christina.
Hi, Christina.
How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So I have a question, and I think this has come up before, but in light of the Oscars and actually my letter, I'm really glad I was on this call, because I was going to resend the letter that I wrote. I had a crazy weekend, and it seems like perfect timing now that I listened to this call and have new ideas about just a way to attack it. But thank you for your feedback already on the letter that I did send you. Anyways, I have been described recently by people that know me and people that have seen me act as I remind them of Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like she too, now that she won an Oscar, too big of a person to compare myself to.
Yeah, and first of all, Christy, I want to say I agree with that, number one. I do agree with that. I think that's would be construed as an easy thing. I think when you're writing a letter, you always want to look for the less obvious thing. So you could talk around that but never mention her name. So you know, like you could describe in your own words what you think it is that you have that Jennifer Lawrence has. Okay. And use that. Let me give you an example. A lot of you guys know I'm friends with Rosemary DeWitt, and when Ro was in New York and trying to get her first part on TV, which seems hilarious now that she's an A-lister, but it's like when she was trying to do that, I remember that one time she wrote this note to Law and Order because they had this role on The Breakdowns that she was right for, and her, she didn't, and you know, I think agents are much more receptive now to The Breakdowns than they used to be to actors getting them, but no, we didn't want to tell our agents we were getting The Breakdowns. So she wrote this letter to her over to Law and Order, and she said that she was doing this play and she was playing this part, and it was the exact description of the guest star role that she wanted to get an audition for, and
that's
and
right.
She wasn't even, and she wasn't even doing the play at the time. I mean, she did a lot of plays, but she wasn't. So it was a complete lie. It was a complete fabrication. She got the audition and she got the part, and it was her first guest star on. It was Law and Order SVU.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and she dropped it off, you know, because now with TV, you know, generally. I tell you guys, for you guys, you know, you're all getting The Breakdowns from me. And the thing is, it's a day late. Just know that we're getting them a day late. I'm sure there's some people that get them on time. I don't know. I haven't gotten them on time for a long time. The only connections I can get are people that get them a day late. So as far as TV is concerned, ongoing TV, not pilots, but ongoing TV, you know, those parts are probably the auditions have already been given out, just so you know. So if you're writing based on The Breakdowns, please know that that stuff is probably not going to work for you. But if it's a pilot or a film, absolutely a letter is a good idea if there's a part that you're absolutely right for. I know I went on with, but I hope you answered your question. Did I, Christina?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I want to just say, you know, Christina, when reading your letter, I just felt that it was lacking sort of in that personalization thing that I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was trying too hard.
Yeah.
And did you get that from me? I mean, did you understand that when you read it
yeah.
again?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Perfect. Excellent. Excellent. Who else has a question? All right. No more questions. Well, all right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to send this recording out later on today. You guys will get it from me. If you have not, if I know there's a few of you on the call that I have asked to write a letter or to start, you know, your hit list. And so please, please, please do that. And go ahead and get those letters to me. Let's start in because it might take some time till we get the letter that we really like. So I want, because you know that, just so you know, this was a huge obstacle for me. I don't feel confident about my writing skills. I don't, I do much more now, but I didn't at the time, and I really struggled with this whole letter writing thing. But what I think the one thing that I feel like I learned and put me over the hump was to come from my heart and come from my intelligence. And the more that I knew about who I was writing and why I was writing for to them, it was an easier time to write the letter. And I think that is the same with acting. You know, it's like specific acting is good acting. And I think that is exactly the same with letter writing. It's, if you're really clear about why you're writing and who you're writing to, it's so much easier to write a letter. Okay, great. Well, so everyone go out there and write some letters and make some communications. And I will talk to you guys next Tuesday. Please call in at 9 for your accountability call. Just to cover that again, because we have a lot of new people on the call today. The accountability call is, what have I been doing with my career? What have I not been doing with my career? And what do I need help on, or what do I need coaching on right now? So come to the call with that information next Tuesday, and I will talk to you either between then or I will talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Come off mute if you're on mute and say goodbye.
Thanks, all.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
The moderator has left the conference.